Life of Cthulhu presents a Delta Green scenario. Safe House Dark by John Hook.
So, we are playing Safe House Dark, and this was my contest entry in the 2014 Delta Green Shotgun Scenario contest. So let's give this a whirl. You are, by the way, currently working overseas, and you're in Belgium, and you're working as you're consulting and traveling. You're touring with an art exhibit that is on extended display in Belgium.
Fair enough.
And you have been contacted by the CIA while you're out there. That field office, while adequately staffed, is under normal circumstances is adequately staffed. But with the current political environment and the way the Middle East is kind of heating up right now, this particular office is just stretched to their absolute limit, resource wise. And so you actually the previous evening you were contacted and brought in and requested, because you're considered a consultant and basically what they categorize as a friendly. Friendly to the CIA, that is.
Yeah.
And so they said, we need your help, if you don't mind. We have an apartment. We have an apartment built, or an apartment in a building that the CIA utilizes as a safe house. It is it's a waypoint for assets who are traveling, that they can stop in, be safe, be secure. It's a drop point for messaging or materials if they need to, and then they can move on safely. But we've had a problem. The apartment has a friendly that actually lives there. Her name is Charlotte Lemaire, and she is she's an elderly woman, widowed, and has been an asset with the CIA for many, many years. But she, and unfortunately, several other tenants of that building have disappeared. We actually only became aware of it because it's made the local news. And so the local Belgian police are conducting an investigation, which we obviously fully support, but officially the CIA is not involved in this, and has no presence there. This is, for all intent and purposes, you know, to the public eye, this is a completely legitimate, normal residential building. But we don't know if there are any, if there's anything sensitive in that apartment. We need to get the logbook that Mrs. Lemaire would manage. We need her logbook and any other materials that could implement and jeopardize the CIA and any operations that we have in this theater. We need to get those out and discreetly.
Of course, of course. Makes perfect sense.
But we're at our absolute limits. So if you don't mind, we have a key that we can provide you. And her apartment, and they give you her address. And her apartment is 3C. Apartment 3C. So...
Pop this around and clean it out.
Excellent. Excellent. We greatly appreciate that. You can simply use the cover. That particular apartment, the way Mrs. Lemaire would operate, is typically her cover story is that she would let out her room because she had two bedrooms in that apartment, and the spare bedroom would be let out for people passing through on a needed basis, similar to for backpackers. If they were going to be going through, they could let out that room. But you could be a distant relative, and that should. That should be able to get you through without too much question.
Oh, well, no worries. We'll make something work.
Excellent. So we appreciate it, and you have our contact. So collect any materials, get the logbook for sure, and clear out. And we'll let the local police handle the missing persons. Of course, Mrs. Lemaire is one of the missing, so if there's anything that, if there's any way that you might be able to assist, that'd be great, but we can't show our hands. So hopefully she'll be, hopefully she's well and will recover and return soon.
Excellent. I'll go immediately.
Thank you. All right, so it is no problem to get to the apartment, and that briefing was the previous night. It was fairly late, so the next morning is when they tell you it'd be best to go in the morning.
Well, of course, I'm not going to pop around at midnight or anything. Right, it'd be ridiculous.
Okay, so it is, what time do you want to stop by?
It has to be after breakfast and morning tea, so it's probably be a good 9 o'clock.
Excellent. So 9 o'clock, you stroll up, obviously, because you took public transportation to get to that area of town. You walk up, and there are two squad cars parked outside the building. Two Belgian squad cars.
Okay. So this is an apartment block?
This area of town is all residential. So this particular building is a three-story tall building. Walk up. And it's there's four apartments per floor.
Okay. So the police cars are just parked outside?
They're parked right outside.
Huh. And it's a residential street. So is there like a lot of traffic, people milling about, moving around, or is it just kind of a quiet?
It's not a lot. Yeah, it's very quiet. Not a lot of traffic. There's very little traffic. It's primarily a pedestrian walk through. A lot of people just walk through. But there are two squad cars that are pulled up right. To Americans, it would look like they're parked on the sidewalk. Okay. But they're pulled right up next to the building. Again, this is very old world kind of architecture and narrow cobblestone streets, that kind of thing.
Okay. I shall enter the building.
Okay. So as you enter the building, there is a uniformed police officer standing there, and he holds up a hand to speak to you. And what languages do you speak? Any foreign languages?
Arabic, Greek, and German.
Okay. The Belgians speak a Germanic derivative. I don't know if it's a pure German per se, but so he addresses you with a Germanic accent and speaks in German and says, "Excuse me, how may I help you?"
Hi, good day, officer. Sebastian Hughes is my name. I am here to collect some of my cousin Miss Lemaire's things.
And he's consulting a clipboard, and you can see he's drawing his finger down. He goes to Lemaire. Ah, okay, yes. Who did you say you were again? He takes out a pencil.
Sebastian Hughes.
He jots your name down and you know, marks it next to Lemaire. And he goes, "That department has not been cleared yet. I'm afraid I can't allow you up just at this time."
Well, that's fine. I'll simply have a wander around. What, do you think another 10 minutes or so?
It may be several more days, I'm sorry to say.
Several more days? Well, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Really, it's just a few family items. I'll just pop in, be right out.
Okay, give me your persuade, please.
Persuade. I am fairly good at persuade. That is a pass.
Good. So you talk to him. He you know, and this isn't, you know, too terrible. And he goes, "Well, all right then. You know, go ahead and just check out when you pass back through."
Of course, officer. Of course. Good day.
All right. Good day to you.
And I will enter the building. Dun dun dun. Okay.
Inside, you know, because you were just inside the foyer, actually, when you're speaking to the police officer. Okay. So you start winding up the stairs.
We'll look for an elevator.
There is no elevator.
I will sigh, grumble, and huff my way slowly up the stairs.
Yep. Trudge your way on up. So as you're making your way up the stairs, as you get to the second floor, the way the stairs work, you kind of come out into the hallway, and then you roll up another flight of stairs to go up to the third floor. Yep. But when you're in that hallway, you can hear people talking, you can hear children and stuff, but there's just not a lot of activity going on.
Okay.
So you continue on up.
Well, stop, wipe my brow, catch my breath. Go up to the just as a note.
Yes.
If this is in Belgium, you have your floors labeled incorrectly.
Yes,
I'm going up to the second floor.
The top, correct.
Which is the top correct floor. Yes.
And I debated on actually labeling it European style, but I decided to leave it in this manner because I thought most of the audience who would be reading the map would be more accustomed to American style labeling. So,
and would get confused. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I debated on how I should label this map. That's for sure.
So yes, I will trudge slowly up to the third floor.
Okay.
After having caught my breath.
Excellent. Okay. So you get up to the third floor, and this floor seems much more quiet than what you heard on the second.
Was there? I probably should have, you know, like actually done some research ahead of time. The briefing didn't mention anything about like who disappeared from where, right? Just that some people disappeared.
Correct. The CIA person who spoke to you said that they learned this from the news, the local news, that there have been several disappearances of people from this particular building.
Right. Probably should have looked into that. Oh, well. Oh, well. I have to just go to the apartment.
Okay. All right. So you go down the hallway, and there you see 3C.
I will try the door.
The door is locked.
I will... I will consider my options.
Well... They gave you a key.
Oh, they did, didn't they? Yes, you even said that.
Your option could be to use the key.
It's like playing Zork. Use key. No. I will... Well, they didn't say it was the key to the apartment, now did they? I will attempt to use the key on the door.
It slides in as if it was designed for it.
I'll be darned. Okay. I will open the door.
Okay. Inside, the apartment is it's furnished as you would expect a little old lady to furnish the apartment. It has a smell of antiquity, and it looks like all of the furnishings date back to the 1940s.
Hmm.
There are a few photos scattered around, but it's interesting. Give me a spot hidden, if you would. Or no, not a spot hidden. Give me an idea roll.
Give you an idea roll. Yeah, that's no problem.
As you're looking at the family photos, at first you look at one and then you think, well, okay, it must be of poor quality. And then you look at another and another and another, and you realize all of the family photos, none of the photography is of a quality that actually allows for any of the people to be recognizable. You know, it's almost like it's stage dressing so that, you know, the CIA has provided this for her so that basically anybody could show up and say that they're family, and no one would be able to actually disprove it by looking in the photos.
Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense.
Okay. So the way excuse me. Let me look at a map real quick. So the way the apartment is laid out is you enter into basically the parlor. So this is a sitting room. You can see there's a radio stereo system. There's a small tube television. There's a curio cabinet, and it's got all kinds of tchotchkes and that kind of thing. You do see this one shelf that has... It almost feels like there's a place of honor, and there's an urn on that shelf.
Okay.
And there's, you know, doilies on the arms of the couch, and doilies under practically everything that's sitting on a flat surface. You know, so again, it just has that that old lady air to it. You're inside the apartment. What would you like to do?
I would like to close and lock the door behind me.
Okay.
I'll take a brief look around. Then I would like to leave the parlor and just kind of glance down the hallway. Are the doors to the bedrooms, are they open or closed?
They're probably ajar. They're probably open.
Okay. I will make my way in, across the hallway into the kitchen.
Okay.
And look about.
Okay. The kitchen is very antiquated, very European in design. So all the appliances and stuff are very small, compact. A lot of stuff looks like it, you know, has multiple purposes if necessary. There's a very tiny washing machine for clothes in here. There's, you know, a very small table to dine at. There's the French doors that lead out to the patio outside that overlooks a like a courtyard or something in the back of the building. Yeah, it's what you expect in a kitchen.
Okay. I'm going to go through the patio doors and out onto the patio.
Mm-hmm.
Is there patio furnished or decorated at all, or is it just plain and empty?
Sparsely. I mean, there's like a wrought iron little patio table, bistro style patio table and chairs, two chairs, and maybe a small potted plant that looks actually well tended, well cared for.
Okay. I shall look over the railing.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that it overlooks a courtyard, not an alley, or?
No, there's like a small greenway back there, little green space.
Okay. And on the other side of the green space is probably another
building? Yep, another apartment building.
Okay. And since you didn't mention anything, I assume I didn't see, like, you know, half-eaten food on the dining table, anything like that?
No.
Okay. In that case, I shall return back through the dining area, back to the hallway, and go into, make a left into the front bedroom.
Okay. So bedroom two?
Yep.
Okay. So bedroom two, it looks fairly Spartan. You get the sense that this is probably the guest room, the one that gets lent out, you know, in air quotes, lent out to people as they're passing through town, when it's actually these CIA assets and operatives.
Okay.
So there's a small bed, there's a little dresser, you know, a small radiator heater kind of thing, and a few knick-knack stuff and around. Okay.
Okay. I shall exit.
And my assumption is that you're just kind of doing a cursory look through, right?
Your assumption is correct, sir.
Okay.
If I am viewing the map correctly, there is a window from the both this bedroom and the parlor out onto the hallway.
Yeah, and the hallways of the building, those long hallways are huge windows. They're floor to ceiling, giant windows. So that these type of bedrooms that have these interior windows, they at least get some sunlight that passes
right
through the hallway and into these rooms. So, yeah.
Now, I should have asked when I was in the parlor, are there window coverings over these windows? And if so, are they drawn or are the windows open?
The window coverings would have been multiple layers. So there would have been like a little lacy layer, yep, and then a thick layer. Yep. The lacy layer is closed. The thick layer was pulled back. Okay. To let a diffused light in.
Okay. And that's true in this bedroom as well?
True.
Okay. Yes. I shall exit this bedroom and cross the hall into the other bedroom.
Okay. This bedroom is looks much more comfortable, much more well lived in. It has a better bed as far as having a better headboard and footboard and nicer linens, and there's some better furniture, older, but it seems to be in just really nice shape, construction, older furniture in here, and then you see another door that clearly leads to a washroom.
Yep. Okay. I shall poke my head into the washroom.
Okay. Yeah, it looks neat and orderly, you know.
Okay.
It doesn't look Spartan clean. It looks like it's been used, you know, and but it doesn't look like it's being used or by a slob, you know.
Are the beds in both bedrooms made, or is one unmade? Do they look like they've been slept in or not slept in? Or
the good question. The guest bedroom, that bed is made. The master bedroom, I'll call it, that bed is not made. Now, in fact, the sheets are pulled open. The covers are pulled open.
Well, that's rather odd. I shall return to the parlor.
Okay.
So, looking near the front door, I shall wonder why someone is calling me at this time of the night. Go away. Is there like a coat rack, an umbrella rack, a shoe stand, those kinds of things?
Sure. There's a hall tree with an attached umbrella stand. An umbrella stand.
Okay. Is there one or more coats on the coat tree?
There's a couple of coats. They're female in style.
And what about shoes?
There's a pair of galoshes up at the front door. Any other shoes would be in the bedroom.
Okay. In that case, I shall begin a search of the parlor. I shall probably start, because it looks interesting, with the urn. Rifle the contents.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a spot hidden roll just for ha-has.
0-1.
You search the parlor from stem to stern, you find nothing out of the ordinary, but you paid close attention to the urn, and you can feel that it's, you know, and you even open it up and look inside. Oh, okay. It's about halfway full of ashes, and I'm sure it's got a little placard on it, and it says Joseph, Joseph Lemaire. Is that his name? Did I even put a name on it? I think I did. Yeah, we'll say Joseph.
Okay. Nothing hidden in the ashes, or?
No, nothing hidden in the ashes. It's just former husband. That's
okay.
All.
Okay, fair enough. So if I, you know, just kind of search and, you know, give the, you know, look behind the paintings and, you know, behind the sofa and under the cushions.
You have thoroughly turned over the parlor.
Okay.
Your 0-1 covers the parlor stem to stern.
Okay. Well, I shall move back into the kitchen, and I shall search the kitchen.
Give me another spot hidden.
Open the cupboards, dig through the doors.
Okay.
You know, look down the sink.
All right.
And I botch.
You find her cookbook, and you are completely positive that this is her her CIA safe house logbook.
Well, I guess I'm done here. Okay, excellent. I'll take that.
And you also, you know, as you're going through this, there's a bit of a rumble and a bumble as outside you hear a storm is moving in.
Oh, lovely. I'll glance back to the parlor. Is there an umbrella hanging on the umbrella stand?
There is. There's an umbrella in it. Yep.
Oh, good. I forgot to bring. I did not bring mine with me, so I shall move into. Since I'm anticipating it won't take very long, I'll go into the guest bedroom, the front bedroom, bedroom two.
Okay.
And execute a search of it.
All right. Give me a spot hidden.
That's a pass.
Okay. So you're looking around in this room, and you actually, and the floorboards are, they're wood floorboards. It's solid wood flooring with just rugs and stuff, area rugs. But under the bed, you find some crumbs of clay, actually, that you find unusual.
Is it fired clay or unfired clay or?
Fired. It looks like this was part of some sort of ceramic something.
Okay. But just little tiny pieces, not
yep.
like shards. Okay.
No. Yeah.
About
the size of your fingernail.
If I look around the bedroom, is there anything else that's of clay or ceramic that, this might have been a broken part of a set or similar? Well,
now that you have found the crumbs, give me another spot hidden roll, and I'm going to give you a bonus on that of add 10%.
That's a impale.
Oh, well, fantastic. As you intensify your search under the bed, you find that one of those floorboards is loose. And that if you pry at it, it actually comes up.
Oh.
And there's a hollow space under there.
I'll, pull the bed out of the way so I can, I'm not that spry a fellow. I can't just stretch under there and do that, but... muscle the bed out of the way and pull up the floorboard and see what there is to be seen.
So hold on just for a second here. You find a clay jar. And this jar, do you have a skill with art? Do you have like art history or anything?
I have painting and sculpture.
And what's your percentage in that? And what is your history?
History is a 60. Painting is a 60. Sculpture is a 35.
Okay. With that level, I'm just going to give this to you instead of you rolling for it. You pull out this clay jar and you go cold, not because of anything supernatural, but because of sheer awe. You're holding this jar and it is shaped roughly in the shape of a man. And you instantly realize that this is like a golem type of design. Okay. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is Israeli. This is like an Israeli art piece. You don't know the details on it, but you are pretty sure you're beyond sure. You're positive that this is some kind of antique Israeli artifact.
Oh,
and the jar, it's lid is like the upper torso and up of the golem. And the bottom of it, so it kind of fits together to make one cylindrical, enclosed jar. But then you can, kind of take the lid off, and it's a chunky, heavy piece, the lid is. But from one of the shoulders, you can see is kind of cracked and busted. So even with the lid on there is not a complete tight seal, so there's an opening space, you know?
Yeah.
And those crumbs that you found would be about half of that puzzle. You know, if you were to fit them back in there, there'd still be other pieces missing. But
the missing bit, sure.
Yeah, there's still other missing bits, but you're like, oh, wow, this is where those crumbs initially came from.
Is there any writing on the forehead of the figure?
There is writing on this. I forgot, do you know Hebrew?
I do not.
Okay. The writing's in Hebrew.
Well, Sebastian Hughes does not. Let's put it that way. Okay. Is there anything inside?
There's nothing inside.
Does any part of the writing look like it's been scratched out, or is it intact?
It's still intact.
Okay. Interesting. How big is it?
When it's all put together, it's about 14 inches tall.
I may take this with me. Okay. I will reach. I am going to actually take it out into the parlor and leave it up on the mantelpiece, up on, you know, the mantle or some appropriate shelf.
Okay.
Where I can see it as I'm leaving and reconsider taking it with me.
Okay.
I just don't want to carry it around right now.
Okay. So you go back out to the parlor and yep. And you place it out there.
Yep.
Great. Now what?
I will return to the master bedroom, to bedroom one, and execute my search.
Give me a spot hidden roll just as you step into the hallway go back to the bedrooms.
That will be a pass.
You think you see a shape of a person standing in a corner at the end of the hall by that by the master bedroom. But that particular corner is completely enshrouded in shadow.
I will turn the lights on.
A person standing there.
I will turn the lights on.
You turn the lights on in the hall, and the lights click on, and there's nobody there.
Well. Strange trick of the shadows. Whatever. Let's get this over with. To the bedroom.
Okay. You're in the master bedroom.
Yes.
And you want to give a thorough search?
I do.
Give me a spot hidden.
I fail.
All right. You search around, and you don't come up with anything that seems relevant.
Okay. I shall go into the water closet, and I shall search the water closet.
Okay.
You know, look inside the tank, that sort of thing.
Sure. As you're approaching the water closet, give me another spot hidden.
That is a pass.
There's a shape of a man standing in the shadows of the water closet.
Like inside the water closet?
Standing in that room.
Inside the water closet, though, not in the bedroom.
In the water closet room.
Okay.
Not the bedroom. In the darkness of the bathroom, you see a man standing in there.
I will draw my pistol and call out, "Who's there?" And I turn on the light in the bedroom. Probably should have turned the lights on earlier, but...
you turn on the light. You know, earlier, you know, the daylight was sufficient, but now that the storm has kind of come in and it's raining now outside, there's the shadows have deepened and there's darkness abound. You turn on some extra lights. Let's say you had, you know, one light on already in the bedroom. you turn on some extra lighting, some task lighting, and so finally some lighting is starting to pour into that bathroom, and the figure is not there. The figure is gone.
Okay. Strange light in here. Well, I will search the water closet.
Okay. Give me a spot hidden.
That's a pass.
The bathroom is clear. You find nothing of importance.
Well, I guess my job here is done. I have the logbook. So I think I'm going to steal an antique. It's been a good day. I shall return to the parlor.
Okay, so as you turn to leave the bathroom, and you're stepping through the threshold of the bathroom, and there's the bedroom right there in front of you, and there's the hallway right there.
Yep.
The light you turned on in the hallway, it turns off.
God damn lighting in this old building. These old Belgian buildings. Cripes. But the lights are still on in the bedroom.
Lights are still on in the bedroom.
Did I happen to be lucky enough to leave any lights on in the dining room or the parlor?
Sure.
Okay. Then I will just grumble about the wiring in these old Belgian buildings and make my way out into the hallway and down to the parlor.
You make your way out into the hallway. The light switch is at the other end of the hall.
Of course.
You make your way out into the hallway, and the lights in the parlor and the dining room have been turned off as well. It's very dark at that end of the hallway. And you see another shadow, another figure, standing at the end of the hallway over there.
I thought there was no light. How am I seeing a figure? Am I right? There's no light in the apartment now, right?
There's no light at that end of the apartment. There's just the lighting.
Oh, from the bedroom, because the bedroom
from the bedroom that you're stepping out of. So there's the hallway that you're in, and at the other end of the hall is the parlor and the kitchen.
Right.
Those lights are now also off. So just in the dimness, you can tell the figure seems to be of a deeper, darker black than the other black around him. But yeah, there seems to be a shape of a man standing at the end of the hall.
I will draw my pistol and point it at the figure. Is the figure doing anything?
Or is not he just a
standing there looking frightening?
I mean, all you see is silhouette.
Okay.
No details, just outline silhouette.
I shall shake my head, and does the figure go away?
No.
I try to clear my eyes. Oh, what is going on? Strange lighting. Does it just look like a figure, or does it like menacing, or how am I feeling at the moment?
I don't know. How are you feeling? There's a, it looks like there's a 6 foot tall person standing at the end of the hallway, just kind of standing there, not really doing anything.
Who are you? Who's there?
And the figure seems to step. And again, you're looking black on black.
Yeah.
But it looks like the figure seems to step away into the parlor.
Which is dark. Crap. I'm going to sidle my way down the hallway towards the parlor and the dining room, or towards the parlor and the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping on the wall opposite the parlor.
There's a rumble of thunder.
Keeping my gun trained on the entrance to the parlor. And essentially, kind of like sideways and back into the kitchen. And fumble for the light switch.
Okay. The light switch turns on.
It does. Oh, well. That's remarkably lucky. Can I see anything in the parlor from this light?
The parlor is a little bit more lit up. And no, it doesn't seem like there's any people in there.
Okay. Can I reach the hall lights from just inside the kitchen entrance?
Yes.
I shall reach out and turn those on.
They turn on.
I shall hear a knocking.
There's a knocking at the front door.
Oh, grand. Yes, who is it? I shall call out again. Who is it?
Hello?
Yes, hello. What language are they speaking?
It's accented, but it doesn't sound like it's... well, it's accented German, yes.
Okay. Hello, yes, who's there?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Are you just shouting through the door?
Yeah, pretty well, from the kitchen, yeah.
And you just, you know, is anyone there?
Yes, just a moment. I'm going to slowly come across the hallway.
Okay.
And try to, you know, keeping my gun trained around the parlor, reach inside the parlor and see if I can fumble for the light switch.
You find the light switch.
Okay, I turn the lights on.
The lights turn on.
Okay, is there anyone in the parlor?
No one is in the parlor.
I shall quickly make my way across the parlor.
Okay.
Take up one of the umbrellas.
All right.
Turn around. Have the lights in the dining room in the hallway mysteriously gone off?
They have not.
They have not. I'll be darned. I shall the umbrella in one hand, my other hand on my pistol, but slipped into the pocket of my coat.
Okay.
Open the front door.
Okay. There's a very small older gentleman standing in front of you, and he seems like a nice enough fellow. And he goes, "I was wondering. I thought I heard a voice inside of Charlotte's apartment. Are you visiting?"
Yeah.
Has Charlotte returned? Is she all right?
Oh, she's fine. Yes, I'm her cousin from America. Just here to say hello, check on her, and bring her a couple things that she has asked for.
Oh.
Who are you?
My name is Abraham. Abraham Reisman. I live here across in the 3D.
Ah.
I heard noises, and I was concerned. I was hoping that everything was all right.
Yes, I'm sure she's fine. She is fine. Why am I saying she's sure? She is fine, yes, of course. What was his name again? Abraham something?
Abraham Reisman. R-E-I-S-S-M-A-N.
Yep. Mr. Reisman, how have you been? Rather a nasty storm brewing outside, it looks.
Seasonal.
Yes. Have you been having problems with your electrics? Seems the lights in here have been funny.
No, everything seems fine to me. Is Charlotte home?
No, she's not. I'm sure she'll be back soon. She just asked me to bring her a couple things.
Well, I had feared that she may have been one of the missing. I hadn't seen her in several days.
How many people are missing from this building?
Oh, far too many, far too many.
But not you.
Oh, no.
Well, that's lucky then. Where do you suppose they all went?
I don't know. It's so strange that they just up and vanish in the middle of the night.
Yes, well, I'm sure the police will have it sorted in no time. Your police here in Belgium are very efficient.
Very good. Yes, they are.
Well, good day to you, sir. I must be off.
All right. You're a nice boy. Tell Charlotte I said hello.
I will certainly do so.
And he kind of waddles off and heads back to his apartment.
I will exit the apartment and close and lock the door behind me.
Okay. And you are going to leave?
I am going to leave. I have the logbook. My job here is done.
Excellent.
Poorly, but... I could be wrong in my assumption, but I'm fairly confident, so... Okay, job done.
Confidence is high. That's good.
Yes.
Okay, so you exit the building to take transportation, public train back to wherever you need to go and
yep.
meet up with your CIA contact?
Yep.
All right.
Oh.
So you meet up with them and...
Here you are.
They are fascinated and disappointed.
The apartment was otherwise empty.
So your contact meets with you and says, well, this is not a logbook.
It's not.
This is clearly, this is her personal cookbook. This seems to be filled with all of her recipes, probably, dating back generations of her family.
Are you sure it's not just written in code?
Quite sure.
See, look here. 2 cups of flour. Clearly that could mean...
Yes. the CIA issued her a CIA logbook. So she has a specific journal, and it follows a particular formatted code, and this is not it.
Well,
and he goes on to describe the actual book that you would be looking for. Okay. Its color, its dimensions, and everything.
Okay. Well, then I can assure you that is not in the apartment. I searched it thoroughly.
You should probably search again. And did you check the storeroom?
The what?
Well, every apartment has a storeroom in the basement. Did you check the storeroom?
Oh, good God, man. Now you tell me this?
I assumed you would have double-checked.
And why would you assume I would check something that's not related to the apartment? Ridiculous bureaucracy. Okay, well, I will go check the storeroom for you, but be assured, the apartment is clear. There's nothing else there of any sort of value. Anyone?
Well, this is very interesting, and he's holding the golem jar, the clay jar.
Well, yes, it is quite attractive and has a certain intellectual value, probably quite valuable for various collectors, but has no particular intelligence value.
So he goes, yes, this is very interesting. So thank you for this. We'll have this looked at. And so very interesting.
Well, I'll be back shortly. I'm sure this won't take long.
Yes, we would appreciate it if you would maybe return today and get us that logbook.
Yes, yes, yes. After all, it's not like it's pouring rain outside or anything.
Yes, well, take your rubbers. You should be fine.
I don't suppose you have a flashlight I could borrow. The electrics in that building are ridiculous.
Oh, certainly. And they hand you a small pocket flashlight.
I don't suppose you have a larger flashlight I could borrow. It's quite dark in that building.
I guess we could dig up a tactical flashlight here. And he goes through a couple of drawers and pulls out a 16-inch, 4-inch diameter lens, halogen bulb mag light.
Much better. Okay. Back shortly. I guess I'll return to the building.
All right. Okay. You return to the building, and that same Flatfoot is standing watch at the front of the building.
Okay. You know, I'm not even really going to stop to talk to him. I'm just going to, you know, walk by him. Oh, sorry, I forgot to get something. Be back out in just a moment. And just disappear before he can even say anything.
And he seems to be a little more Barney Fife, you know. So that kind of gets past him. So he's good. You're good.
Okay. I guess I will go downstairs now.
Okay. All right. So you wind down to the basement, and yeah, it's kind of dark down here.
I will. Are there any lights on?
There are lights. There's light switches.
I will turn the lights on.
Okay. A lot of bare bulbs, you know, dangling from strings and stuff here. You know, you turn on a switch and it turns on a string of them. But things are very well labeled, so you're able to work your way around to find the storage area for apartment 3C.
Okay. And so if I'm reading the map correctly, I would, before I get to the storage unit for 3C, which seems to have one of the larger ones, there's also a boiler room for each apartment. Yes. Has its own boiler room.
Yes.
Okay. I will poke my head in the boiler room for apartment 3C.
Okay. Yeah, it's noisy, hot, and yeah, there's a boiler stoked and running.
I will check the corners, look under it.
Give me a spot hidden.
Nope. Nothing here.
Yep, everything seems fine.
Okay. I will check the storage room.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you the same apartment key opens up the door here.
Convenient.
They're all keyed the same for the tenant's convenience. And, yeah, there's all kinds of old, you know, furniture, you know, sheet-covered furniture down here, and suitcases, and lockers, you know, like steamer trunks, that kind of stuff.
Does this room have its own light?
I would think it does. If it's yes.
That large. Okay. Yep. In that case, I will turn that light on and close the door.
Okay.
I mean, with me inside.
Yes.
Because this is probably going to take a few. This is going to. God damn it! This is going to take longer than I would have hoped. Well, go through all these trunks. Ridiculous.
Okay. So, as you get in here, actually, everything looks, you know, really, really old, except for there's one suitcase, there's like one bag that stands out. It's much more modern and nicer, and certainly not nearly as covered in dust as everything else.
Well, I will start with that then, won't I?
Yes. Okay. So inside this suitcase, you see many things, actually. So there is a cell phone, a wallet, a watch, a pair of glasses. You see some changes of clothing, and they're all men's clothing.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
Yep. There is a the suitcase was sitting on top of a leather messenger bag, and inside that leather messenger bag You can find journals or academic books. There's a journal. You see several folded up maps. They look like, you know, the type of maps you would find for tourism or something like that. As you're moving the suitcases and the leather messenger bag about, you hear a doot, 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 you know, kind of sound of a cardboard tube that rolled and fell to the floor. And as you pick up the tube, the outside of it has a sticker on it, a label, shipping label, that says "Property of Tel Aviv University."
And sorry, that was in the messenger bag.
The all of this stuff was kind of piled up. Okay. And so you had the suitcase, you had a leather messenger bag, and then a 2 foot long cardboard tube.
Okay.
And the tube has the label "Property of Tel Aviv University."
Yep. I'll be there in a few days.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So if I look at the wallet, does it have any identification in it?
It does. It does.
Hang on. Sorry, real quick. None of this stuff looks like the logbook that was described to me?
Nope. None of this looks like the logbook.
Oh, crap. Okay.
In fact, you seem to have found a cache of things, but the logbook is not one of them.
Wonderful.
Now you have not had to search this this storeroom, because this stuff, it looks like someone came into the storeroom and just dropped all this stuff on the first conveniently available horizontal space. Yep.
Okay. So what's the wallet? What's in the wallet?
The wallet is to a Professor Yosef Eshel. Yosef with a Y.
Okay. Yep. Of course. Okay. I take a quick look at the cell phone.
Yes. The cell phone is... hold on. I have a note here on that.
Is the battery dead? Is it turned off?
Hold on.
Is it turned on? Is it ringing?
The cell phone is, hold on. I wrote that down somewhere. Hold on. It's one of those pay-as-you-go, whatever, okay, like a track phone kind of thing. So it doesn't have any, there's nothing keyed into it. There's no memory or anything.
Okay. So the tourist maps, are they maps of this mysterious unnamed city in Belgium or somewhere else in Belgium?
No, they are maps of Masada.
Ah.
You're looking at basically it's like a tourist map of Masada.
Yep.
And there is a red circle on the map, less than a mile northwest of the city of Masada.
Okay. Well, it's not really a city, but, the site of Masada.
The site.
Yeah. Sorry, having been there, you know,
it's less than a mile northwest of the archaeological location, the site of Masada.
There we go. Okay. Interesting. Quick look at the journal. Is it the journal of Yosef Eshel?
It is his journal. Yes.
Is it in English or Hebrew?
His notes are in English.
Oh, convenient. And the academic books in question, history, archaeology.
History and archaeology, both, several different books of the Israeli region.
Okay. I'm curious as to what's in the cardboard tube. Do I care enough to look? Probably. I'm already being nosy. I shall pop the tube open, and I'm not going to, pour out the contents. I'm just going to look.
Okay.
Is there, something in there, or is it like rolled up papers in a tube, or?
Yeah. So you open the tube and look in with the aid of a flashlight, and you're glad that your first instinct wasn't to just start kind of knocking and pouring something out, because the paper that's inside there, it looks extremely delicate. It looks very fragile, very old.
Yeah. Remarkable. Okay, I'm going to close all those three things back up and set them by the door.
Okay.
And I will search the rest of the storage area.
Okay. Give me a spot hidden.
I will give you a spot hidden. I will fail my spot hidden.
Okay. Yeah, nothing else comes up other than you just find the past relics of the life of the woman that lives in this apartment.
Okay. I will set the cardboard tube into the messenger bag as best I can.
Okay, yeah. Several inches of it stick out,
sure. I will shoulder the messenger bag. Okay. Is the suitcase a roller bag?
No.
Oh, damn it. I will grumble about having to carry things. And heft the suitcase and open the door.
Okay. So yeah, you open the door and there's the hallway ahead of you, and the lights are out.
I knew it. Terrible electrics in this place. I shall fumble the suitcase around to the same arm, to the same side where I have the messenger bag, and activate my super powerful, extra heavy-duty CIA-issue flashlight.
Okay. So you turn on this bad boy, and it just, it's almost like sunlight is beaming out of this thing. And you track the light up as you're checking the path from you all the way to the end where you need to go for the stairwell. And as your light gets to the very end, and that's a fairly long hallway.
Yep.
And, if you're looking at the map there, just as your light gets up, you see the last remnants of what looked like, again, no details are available. You're just looking at, you see what looks like a silhouette. Even though light was illuminating, it just looked like a silhouette of a person as it kind of steps away out of your line of sight, as if it's going towards the stairwell.
So like it actually moved.
It moved.
Which is what I saw before too, right?
It actually moved. Yes, but you saw it move with, in deep shadow on shadow.
Right.
And it could, beforehand it could have been a trick of the eye. But this time, no, it moved.
Who's there? Goddamn haunted Belgian buildings. This is getting ridiculous. Well, I shall slowly and cautiously make my way down the hallway and towards the stairs.
Okay.
Grumbling all the time about having to carry heavy suitcases.
Okay.
And I shall make my way to the stairs.
All right. Successful.
I shall make my way up the stairs.
All right. It's a pain in the ass.
I'm sure it is. So that should take me back out onto the ground floor, which is where the policeman fellow is.
Yes.
Excuse me, sir. Have you seen anyone else? Has there been anyone else just come up from the basement?
Oh, just now from the basement.
Yes.
No one has come up.
Are you sure this building isn't haunted? Some old ghosts lying around?
He chuckles at that. No, sir.
I will look outside. Is it still raining?
Oh, cats and dogs.
Let's see. Well,
A roll of thunder and a flash of light.
I hope I still have my umbrella somewhere. Perhaps I left it by the door.
Certainly.
Okay. Then I shall take the heavy suitcase and the messenger bag and the tube and my umbrella and step out into the rain.
Okay. All right. So you're going to start heading back for for the CIA area? Okay.
Now my work is certainly done.
Certainly your work is done now.
The logbook is missing, and here's everything that you might be interested in. Good day, sir.
And they see all the stuff you've collected. They're like, this is remarkable.
Do you know who this fellow is? This Josef Eschel?
No, but we'll certainly look into it. I mean, only just now learning. So off the top of my head, I don't know who this professor Eschel is, but. We'll certainly look into it. Are you sure there's nothing else to collect? There apparently,
I am 100% certain that the apartment is clean. If the logbook, if either she has it or someone, or it's already in someone else's possession, it is definitely not there.
Well, then. The CIA will be compromised, that's for sure. And I could see where the Belgian government may even be trying to possibly bring us up on charges for some of these disappearances. Worst case scenario, that would occur, I'm sure.
Yes, that would be terrible. Well, better luck next time.
Are you positive that you've checked everywhere for that logbook? It has to be there.
Well, no, it does not have to be there. She could have taken it with her wherever she went. Or if someone took her, then whoever took her took the logbook. I even checked the boiler room. It's not there.
All right. Well, we appreciate your help, and we'll look into this, whoever this Eschel person is, and we appreciate your assistance.
Yes, well, good day.
Does your character wish to...
My character wishes to go home. Or go return to his hotel or wherever he's staying, and Google Josef Eschel.
Okay,
who is this fellow?
So you see that he is a professor. Let's see, where I find notes about him. He is a professor of archaeology, specializing in Israeli history and archaeology. He lives in London, and teaches in London. Masada is his particular expertise. So it's clear that he. Several times a year, we'll go back to Masada to do and participate in several archaeological digs. But as far as his workings with America or anything like that, obviously you're not going to find anything on the internet for that.
Yeah, of course. If I pull up Google Earth or Google Maps and zoom in on the general area that was indicated on his tourist map,
You can see that it's open, like open desert area. You know, it's undeveloped, and most likely is a site of an archaeological dig.
Okay. Fair enough. So if he lives in London, do I know what university he's at?
Yeah. I don't know London universities, so we'll say
somewhere.
You know,
okay.
Somewhere. a popular London university.
Yes. can I ring them up and navigate to some sort of secretary for his department and ask to speak with him?
Yes. Yep. So this will take you some time. So we'll say it's the next day. So you get navigate through the system and you get to his department. And so you're speaking to a secretary of the department. She answers and she basically says, you know, archaeology department, how may I help you?
Yes, is Professor Eschel available?
I'm afraid he is not. Is there? Can I take a message?
Do you know when you expect him back?
I believe he's currently on vacation.
Well, this is Professor Hughes of Boston University. I had wished to speak with him on regarding some items that have recently come to our attention that we thought he might be interested in, and I wanted to ask him about it. When he's to return.
Let me check. Hold on, please.
Certainly.
And she's gone for a few minutes, and when she comes in, she goes, "Oh, well, this is interesting. It seems he's past due. I guess maybe he's probably running late. A lot of these professors are they take working holidays, so I suspect that he may have been out on a dig, and maybe it's just taking longer than he anticipated, but." I have him on the schedule as supposed to be returning today.
And you don't know where he was on holiday to?
I don't have that information.
When he comes back, please have him ring me up. I'll give him the number of my secretary back in Boston.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thank you.
Well, if he left his suitcase and his messenger bag and whatever that tube was Mrs. Lemaire's storage room.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I don't think he'll be coming back. Perhaps I should have checked the boiler more closely. Oh, well, nothing for it, I suppose. I'm going to check the news, see is there any news on the mysterious disappearances?
Yes, there is a running story, and it seems that there's been even more disappearances. It's completely unexplainable. There's been a police presence at that building around the clock, 24/7, and yet there was still another disappearance.
Does it say who?
It does not say who.
Oh. Well, that's distressing. Perhaps the Belgian police are not as efficient as I would have believed.
And you can, you know, the local news have, you know, camera people on scene, and they show families are like packing their bags, and whole families are just leaving their building.
Yeah,
they no longer feel safe there.
I can certainly imagine. I don't live there, and I don't feel safe there. Okay. I will just return to business as usual and keep an eye on the news.
Okay. So you get a ring from the CIA.
Oh, God. Not you again. What now?
And so this is another day has passed. So now it's been 2 days since you've been to the apartment.
Sure.
And your CIA operative contacts you and says, we've had an opportunity to examine the things you've brought in, and it's very interesting. We could probably use your input just to get your thoughts on this, if you wouldn't mind coming in.
Oh, yes, I'll be down shortly.
Okay.
Make my way.
So when you arrive, you can see all the stuff that you've turned in is all laid out on this table. Your regular contact is there, and there's several more people in this room as well. And welcome. Please come in. And you can see everything's laid out. And even that the old parchment that was inside the tube has been laid out, and it's like being held under glass, you know, to keep it flat and everything. And your contact, again, I don't have a name for it, but your contact says, please come in. We wanted to get your opinion on this and see if there's, this seems a bit odd. And certainly nothing that that the CIA deals with. But the, and he holds up the jar. He goes, this clay jar, apparently it is marked with a warning.
A warning?
Yeah, it's interesting here. It seems that, we at first thought it was related to the myth of the golem, but it seems that this jar was actually a prison for something called a Tasmalev. Does that mean anything to you? Give me an idea roll.
Or an
occult role.
Occult. Ah, dang it. I impale my occult.
And you hear that and you go, oh, yes, that's the legend of the Death Shadow. And apparently,
I have a really bad feeling about that building now.
There's a Jewish myth of this, and I am positive I'm mispronouncing this, Salmeyev. Actually, if I send you this, maybe, do you know if you can pronounce this for me? Let's see here. Go here and do that. How would you pronounce that?
Samaveth.
Samaveth? Say that again.
Samaveth. Samaveth. Oh, there it is. Samaveth.
Samaveth?
Yes. A little more in that ETH of yours, but yeah.
All right. Samaveth.
Yep, there you go.
All right. So this has got this clay jar. The inscription on it seemed to be a warning that this vessel was the prison for this death shadow, as the as your contact says those words with air quotes. You know, he fingers air quotes. And then he sets the jar down gingerly, and then he indicates the scroll. And he says, apparently this Professor Eshel even went so far as to borrow this antique from Tel Aviv University, and he's you know kind of moving his finger across the glass that that the scroll is under, and he goes, "Our expert here," as he indicates a woman standing nearby, says that this is some kind of recipe, and the woman in the corner says, "Spell, really? Yes, okay, a spell that will capture and contain this shadow creature." Does any of that make sense to you?
I will sigh deeply and say, yes. Yes, I'm afraid it does. That would explain a great many things that I saw in the apartment, or at least one thing that I saw many times in the apartment. So, somehow, I would be interested to know how Professor Eshel came to Ms. Lemaire's apartment to begin with, but there he was.
Well, perhaps. Hopefully, if we can discover the logbook, we'll be able to ascertain that.
Perhaps he was called there. Certainly, it seems unlikely that Professor Eshel would have been carrying the jar himself, especially given where it was found.
Unless he was couriering it to another location, he may have. Again, none of my sources have stepped forward to claim Professor Eshel as one of their assets, but he may have been couriering this to another location. We checked his journal here, and so he holds up the journal that you had discovered as well. And he flips towards the back, and so some of the more recent entries in the journal describe his discovery of the jar. So it was at an archaeological dig site near Masada. He discovered the jar, and that he was going to bring it back for further study, and may be able to use it for other interests. Let me ask you a question: is your character actually part of the Delta Green conspiracy?
Yes.
Okay. When he's showing you the journal, which you never actually looked at.
Right.
When you're looking at his final Professor Eshel's final entries, you actually notice in the lower corner he had penned in green ink a triangle in on the last page.
The secret handshake.
But that seems to have not been noted of any importance to your CIA, your right. Regular CIA yep. Person here.
Yep. Okay. Nope. Now I get it. I will sigh heavily.
Your man here says,
and quote Psalm 23 to those in the room.
And that would be,
yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
Oh, nice. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, fairly common Jewish female name, please.
I fairly common Jewish female name. My mind has just gone blank.
Anything.
Killing me here.
You're about to go to Tel Aviv. You don't know a single woman in Tel Aviv?
No, I know a bunch of them. Just not, they're not all Jewish. A lot of them have, you know, Russian names and Ukrainian names and things like that. Let me scan my contacts, see if there's anything. What is her name? How about, let's go with, of course, Anat.
Say that again.
Anat. A-N-A-T. Anat.
All right. Anat Feingold is the woman in the room, and your CIA operative introduces you to her and says, she seems insistent that this could be important, and if you are up for it, I'd like to have you accompany her back to the apartment and see if there's anything else of Professor Eschel's that may be there to be found, or whatever it is that Miss Feingold here thinks needs to be done.
Yes, and who are you, Miss Feingold?
And she introduced herself, and she says that she's a CIA intelligence officer, but this is something that that she feels strongly about.
Yes. Well, I suppose probably for the best. I'm going to glance over at the parchment. It's probably in Hebrew, right?
It is.
Perhaps tomorrow.
She sees that you're glancing over at it, and she holds out a scanned copy of the parchment, and she goes, "Oh, have no worries. I have a copy with me."
I don't suppose you Feingold. Jewish, yes? I don't suppose you speak Hebrew?
Oh, yes. Fluently.
Oh. So you can read that parchment. That's... Although it is apparently in perhaps ancient Hebrew, are you certain you can read it properly?
Yes. It's actually in biblical Hebrew. I can read it.
Oh. Well, then, I suppose. Certainly. Let's go.
Excellent. I need someone who's familiar with the layout.
Well, it is very complicated. There are four whole rooms to navigate. It's a difficult, you know. Belgians, crazy builders. Things are not laid out as you would expect. As an aside, John, how much longer do you think?
Not long.
Okay.
Not long.
We'll be dead soon?
Yes.
Excellent.
We're just going to go right to it.
Okay, let's go. Come along, Miss Feingold. I have already successfully navigated the public transit in this country many times. No problems getting there.
So you guys arrive, and there's a different flat foot on duty today. And there's actually two of them on there, and they stop you as you come in. Yes, how can we help you?
I will look at Miss Feingold.
Yes, I'm here to collect some belongings for my aunt, who is one of the missing. And they go, "Oh, I don't see you listed here." And she goes, yeah, you know, she gives her the Charlotte Sting. Lemire, give me a persuade.
I think I fail to persuade. I fail to persuade them. Not by much, but.
But you're already on the list, so not by much. It's by what?
8. I miss by 8.
Oh, all right. Good enough. I was going to give you a 10% bonus on that. So they let you through. So you guys have only come back. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring back besides the copy of the scroll?
Well, the jar is broken, right?
The jar is broken.
Let's see.
And Anat is, she describes that we need some sort of vessel to contain this thing.
Oh, well, I shall pick up a bottle of Coca-Cola along the way, drink it, and Bob's your uncle.
How are we going to reseal that?
Well, it's a modern plastic bottle. You just simply take the cap. The cap goes here. It screws down. No problems.
That may suffice. We'll see.
It's sealed better than a clay jar. You turn the clay jar over, the lid falls out, and everything falls out. You turn this over, nothing happens.
Very good. Very good. You guys, you want to go to the basement? You want to go to the apartment?
I think we go to the apartment.
Okay. So you get inside, and she starts reviewing the scroll again, and goes, "Yes, everything is here. We need only to find this creature, and we should be able to." To put it down.
Oh, well, finding it seems to be easy. I found it many times already. Wait here. And I'll leave the light on in the parlor.
Okay.
I'll reach out into the hallway and flick the light on.
Okay.
And look quickly down the hallway.
There's nothing to see down there.
Oh, dang it. Fine. Now you decide to not show yourself. Turn the light off and look down the hallway.
You turn the light off. When you click the light off, the figure's at the end of the hall.
There it is. Start. Start now. Now would be a good time. Start reading. Do your thing.
She tells you to get the jar out. Get it ready.
I open the bottle.
Open the bottle.
I open the bottle.
Okay, so as she begins to incant... you can see it's coming towards you.
Is it like coming towards me quickly or slowly?
It seems to be coming slowly at first and then begins to move faster.
I am going to wait as long as I can stand my nerves to wait before stepping back into the lit.
Give me a... this for the now that you're actually confronting it, give me a sand roll.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, that's easy.
Okay, lose one. So as you step back into the parlor, the lights go out into the parlor.
Okay, I will make my way back up through the parlor towards the door.
Okay.
And flip my flashlight on.
All right, you're flicking on your flashlight.
Yeah.
Okay. You flick on your flashlight.
Not sure that was the best idea. Now that I think about it, but it's the natural reaction.
You flick on your flashlight and I'm going to make a roll. So if you have dodge, you may want to do a dodge.
If I have dodge. Well, of course I have dodge. It's just a question of how poorly I can dodge. And which is not very well, Not exactly a spry fellow. And, yeah, I fail.
Okay. You feel cold as you start seeing these shadowy tendrils from behind you. They're starting to envelop around you as if something was behind you.
I shall cry out and spin wildly with my flashlight around the room.
Okay, give me a luck roll.
And that's, I don't think so. Nope. I fail by 5.
Oh, all right. Let's see how Anat is doing then. Okay. Check this guy one more time. Okay, so you're basically being entangled.
Read quicker.
By this shadow creature. So you've got one round left. Give me a dex check to try and detangle yourself from these tendrils.
I nearly, but by 1 point, do not botch.
So you rolled a 95?
Yep.
Okay, so let me see how Anat does. Oh, all right, shoo, because usually in my luck, that's usually 3 zeros. So no, Anat with a 0-4, she's able to complete the incantation, and you feel like you are on the cusp of something terrible, like you were about to be drawn someplace cold, but then that feeling is drained away, and a knot quickly tightens down the lid of the Coke bottle, and there just seems to be some sort of dark substance inside the bottle.
Ah, Oh, that was disturbing. Good job reading, by the way.
And there you go. Anat, who is also a Delta Green agent.
Yep, got that.
Has successfully contained the beast.
And is probably taking it back somewhere for study.
And she takes it back for study.
Of yep. course. Cool.
And that's it. That is Safe House Dark.
Okay, I have to ask, where was the which of my missed spot hidden rolls was the
in the master bedroom under a false drawer, a false bottom in one of the drawers of her bedroom is the book.
Logbook. Okay,
the logbook.
And does it explain how the professor was actually why he was?
Explains, so if you, it says the second to last entry, dated 13 days ago, indicates a Professor Josef Eschel has checked into the safe house, and the departure, date is left blank. The last entry in the date book, dated 10 days ago, states that Professor Eschel has vanished in the night without a trace, and that there are additional notes from Lemaire that say that she heard some shouting that woke her up at approximately 0400 hours. And when she entered the room, Professor Eschel was gone. He had left without taking any of his belongings. She moved everything down to the storage locker.
Okay.
She also notes that she checked the door to her apartment and that the deadbolt was still securely fastened. And that unless Professor Eschel had somehow acquired a copy of her key, there's no way that he could have locked the door after he had left.
Yep.
So
there's no. Is there any indication of like what Professor, why or who broke the jar open?
There's no clues that the characters can find, but notes to the keeper is that while Eschel was awaiting his contact, so they could pass this off. He accidentally broke the jar.
Butterfingers.
He butterfingered, broke it, and so he ended up accidentally releasing the creature in this building, and so he stowed away the jar because he was so paranoid about it being lost or stolen. He created the hiding space for it under the bed and hid the jar under there, but it was too late. The creature was out, and it eventually consumed him, and it's been consuming people throughout the apartment. You went through this in a different manner than I anticipated people would, and I was probably bringing on. I was trying to do an atmosphere of horror, more so than just simply directly attacking you.
Yep.
And so I was trying to do this atmosphere thing, and I was wondering if you were going to stick around or how long you would stick around. The neighbor, I provided the neighbor as an NPC, Abraham, to be able to read the scroll if need be. But because you took everything out, and you turned it in like a good little soldier, I'm like, well, okay, I don't need Abraham anymore. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just bring in a Delta Green agent, and she'll be Jewish, and she'll be very motivated to do this, and so she had her own photocopy, scanned copy of the scroll, so she can read the scroll instead of the elderly neighbor reading the scroll.
Fair enough.
So
nice.
So there you go.
I like it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you like it.
Good stuff. Thanks, John. That was fun.
All right. Well, I'm glad I had a good time. So this will be fun.
Cool.
Take care, man.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.